from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
But a foul tip will end it. Caught by Wong this time. And that'll do it for the Astros in the ninth. One hit, one left on the Red Sox after losing 7 in a row to the Astros over 2 seasons. Win the last 2 games of the series and set Houston on the road with a 3-3 homestand.
That was Todd Callis on the call. Not a great day yesterday for the Astros. If you were out there for the businessman special. I always love to call it the businessman special. I'm like, I don't
Sexist.
Know. If you're, there's that, but if you're Bastard. Like spending 4 hours in the afternoon just chilling at a baseball game, how great a businessman are you?
You're either really good or really bad.
Right.
It can only be one of either of those. It's you're either really good at what you do and you took care of your business. I don't know. I hear a lot about these people these days that are just basically, because they're working remotely, they've got 2 full-time jobs. Because like they can handle their full-time job in 4 hours, so they just have another full-time job.
How many of those do you think the 2 employers know about each other?
I would say probably 98% of them.
You think?
Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day about just like, well, how would you pull it off? You
got very frowned upon back in the day.
Well, right. Now I think they just don't care as long as you're getting your work done and
you're
doing a good job.
Remotely, you can do them at the same time, so you don't have to be somewhere.
Right. Yeah. As long as the guy's producing.
Yeah.
You've got plenty of people in your organization who only have 1 job and suck at it.
That's true.
If you've got somebody who's moonlighting with another full-time job, air quotes, then you don't care, especially with your remote workers. Like, just show me the money. Are you producing?
That's true. No, you know my background is in sales, and I'm putting myself in the shoes of an employer, and I'm like, yeah, I guess if the guy's pulling 130% of quota, I don't care what, as long as he's not doing illegal stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but there's was the other full-time employees who spend, like, 6 hours a day watching television.
Managing their
something.
Fantasy football
right,
team.
Yeah. Like, what's the difference?
That's a good point. Now, the Astros, they were bad businessmen yesterday. At least the hitters were. Verlander was good, though. And I think, look, in the grand scheme of things, I'm more excited about Verlander than I am depressed about a loss to the Red Sox, especially when we're at a time where the Seattle Mariners are literally playing like one of the worst teams in the sport. So the Astros lose again yesterday, but the Mariners do them the service of losing to the Dodgers. So the Astros are still 5 games up in the AL West. Here was Joe Espada yesterday. Verlander went 5 innings, gave up 2 earned runs, only 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, threw 76 pitches, and the velocity was good. It was mid-90s. So that's all good stuff. Here was Joe Espada on Justin Verlander's performance.
I thought he looked really good. Fastball looked really good up to 96. Though, and you know, there was some intent behind all these pitches. His breaking balls were pretty good. Executed some really good breaking balls. I thought that was really good to see.
Yeah, I think with Verlander, you watched that performance yesterday. You know about how good he looked in his rehab start. And so far, so good. You just have to hold your breath for a couple months. That's all you have to do. Can you hold your breath from now through October? And just hope that he stays healthy, which we're doing with the pitching staff in general these days. That even I am definitely at a point now where even as they have a 6-man starting rotation, that means you got 1 less reliever. and Ryan Presley is on the IL. Like, it's like the injuries, you're in a very precarious situation with injuries, as it has been this entire season. But so far, so good with Justin Verlander.
Yeah, we know, and that's the thing. We were happy with five innings from Verlander yesterday. But the fact of the matter is, math is math. And you've gotten three and a third or two-thirds from Blanco 2 days ago. And you got five out of Verlander, who, you know, like in a normal world, you'd count on at least six from Verlander.
Five and two-thirds from Kikuchi the night before.
Yeah, yeah. So they've been a little short of what optimal would be. And I know it's a Thursday, so some of you Astro fans are feeling this Pavlovian thing where you're just kind of laid back because there's no game today. No, there's a game today. I know they've got a bunch of Thursdays off. They're in the middle of a stretch where they're playing a whole bunch of games in a row.
Yeah.
And as you point out, Seth, now they're back to a six-man rotation, so that's one less bullpen arm that can eat up some innings for you. As far as those six guys, like medical concerns, like to me, Verlander is the one I'm still most concerned about because he's had two IL stints and he's 41 years old. I guess next would be probably like a tie between Blanco and Arrigetti, maybe, because their young pitcher, well, Blanco's not young, but he's not a, he hasn't been a horse of a starter.
Right. He's unproven in terms, he's untested in terms of how many innings he's pitching.
Yeah,
and he's showing signs of fatigue.
He's showing signs is a big thing.
He hasn't been the same guy over the course of the last 4 weeks or
right,
so, 3 weeks.
Right. So those would be the next two.
And then with Arrigetti, it's not, I'm not concerned about him injury wise, but I'm just concerned about the I don't feel as rock solid about him as I do Hunter Brown.
Yeah.
When he's a young pitcher, it's reasonable to expect that he's gonna have some rough outings here and there.
Yeah.
I do feel like there's so many parts about his operation and the things that he's honed that I do feel he's much more of a veteran pitcher now. I'm not like at concern level 9 or 10 on that. It's just something to keep an eye on.
Blanco and Kikuchi would be the two, from a performance standpoint, that are kind of in audition mode right now. Look, if Verlander's healthy, and assuming Fromber and Hunter Brown remain healthy, like those are your three. Yeah. In some order, maybe depending on matchup, depending on lefty-righty, whatever. But like it's Fromber, it's Hunter Brown, it's Justin Verlander. And then, you know, the deeper you go into the playoffs, you need at least four. And so I suppose it's Kikuchi and Ronel Blanco and Arrigetti to a point, but I just, you know, Blanco's had largely a good year. Like you said, it's starting to kind of fizzle a little bit right now. And Kikuchi's been good for four outings, but let's see if the league kind of adapts to some of the adjustments the Astros have made.
Yesterday, one of our listeners suggested just maybe doing some kind of a piggyback rotation right now since you have six starting pitchers. I don't think that helps Blanco because Blanco hasn't been good for three innings, you know, like he's just, I think Blanco needs an extra day of rest.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as simple as, oh, well, yeah, only test him for three innings or so. I'd rather, likewise with Verlander, I think an extra day of rest matters a lot more to those guys more so than any of the other stuff.
The ESPN had an article yesterday, that kind of charted how the Astros got to where they were from 10 games back. When they were 10 games back, I think we actually went to FanGraphs that day to see what the chances of them winning the division were.
Yeah.
When they were like fading out and just, you know, at rock bottom by Astro standards, we were checking every day to see what the percentage chances that we were going to have October baseball were.
What was the lowest?
The lowest they were to win the division was 10.8%. I think the lowest they were to make the playoffs, it got below like, it got in like the high 20s somewhere. You know, like a 1-in-3 shot thereabouts of making the playoffs.
Yeah.
10.8% on June 18th when they were 10 games back. They're now 89.9%. as of yesterday, to win the division. So it's been a remarkable turnaround.
A lot of the old heads on MLB TV and everything were smarter than the analytics in that one.
They were. Yeah. No, they said just, like, give it time.
Yeah.
You know who's a big winner in this Astros season?
Who's that, Sean?
The big winner? It's a 162-game season guy.
I was actually thinking about that yesterday because Lopez and Reginald were talking about, you know, potentially shortening the season and whatnot.
Lopez, it's a 162-game season
guy
when
he
came to the Astros. He buried them.
Right, and that was the thought that came to my mind as I was just pulling out of the grocery store parking lot listening to those guys was, man, you've seen too many times in baseball especially. Look, the Astros have both been the benefactor of it, this season. They're not the benefactor.
The
beneficiary of it. But they also, look, they saw the Washington Nationals be a horrendous team in the first half of the season, then come back and win a World Series. I feel like that's part of the charm of baseball. And
Phillies were that too.
So, and it is. It's one of those sports that the margins are so thin. Even when the Astros were at their worst and they're just miserable, you're still winning nearly a third of your games. Yeah. You know, versus in football, when you're the worst team in the league, you might win 0% of your games. In baseball, when you're the worst team in the league, you're still winning a third of your games.
Yes.
It's just the margins are razor thin. I feel like the number of games is the right number of games.
Yep.
For all of that to play out.
Someone's sending in on the text page, no, they definitely do not like people having two full-time jobs, at least corporate America, maybe sales, but IDK.
Well,
I don't know.
It depends. I think it all depends on the situation. Like, sure. It's like, what's your corporate culture and everything? I don't think they like the idea of people having two full-time jobs because, on the average, people are going to underperform in one of the jobs.
Or both.
But you got to step back from, like, what your expectations are and everything and think in an individual situation. Okay, this guy's a super performer. I don't want this guy setting a bad example. For what? For people who never see him anyway?
Right.
Like, do you want results? Or do you want to keep that little story in your head alive? Like, who are you feeding here? Are you feeding your family? Are you feeding the narrative that was driven into you with traditional work situations?
Yeah.
Be a man.
Yeah.
Grow up and evaluate the situation for what it is. You've got a super performer, and you're getting jealous over him having another job? My God.
I love how you're railing against somebody, and we don't even know who it is. Like, it's just this esoteric thing.
It's not even that texture, but it's somebody out there.
Yeah.
They don't want it in the aggregate because on the whole, on the average, it would mean that probably you're not getting the best performances out of those. But always remember that 80% of your employees could easily be replaced.
Yeah.
You know, you don't start firing the top 20% because they might, instead of playing video games in their off time, they're off working another job.
Right.
Oh, sorry. Nope, that doesn't fit what I think the ideal worker. I know you're the best performer, but you're not doing it the way I would like.
Rules are rules.
Even though I never actually even see you or know what these other jackasses are doing in their
off
time.
Rules are rules. Sorry. Yeah. Chris in the ATL thinks I have something against Sean McVay because I want Cam Akers to throw a football at him. He says, what do you have against McVay? Sean's going to be at practice being like Emperor Palpatine in Star Wars with Akers. Nice cut. Now throw the football at McVay. Let the hate flow through you. Do it.
You just want the drama. I don't want that. I want Cam Akers to just be cool with where he is and be focused on the task at hand.
It's the fork in the road on
the
show.
Like, don't be like Tua trying to play out old grudges or whatever.
I want all the smoke.
I do want this, just as a fun joke on Les Snead. Sean and I were talking during the break because we had told the story of the first time I ever took a pre-draft visit as a college senior. The first person I met away from college from the NFL or the combine, I guess, was Les Snead, who was 1 year out of college, was just a young assistant scout, probably sleeping in a broom closet somewhere. He picked me up at the airport and he took me to a taco place and we had tacos. And it just dawned on me now, Sean, how many years later? 27 years later?
Yeah, 1997.
27 right? years yeah. later, I wonder if Les had gotten like a per diem for that dinner, and
they gave him like $100.
Took me to a taco place,
took you to Taco Cabana,
and then just pocketed the rest. And I can't blame him. And yet, I'd need anybody who is out there at practice today. If you know what Les Snead looks like, he's pretty. A lot of people know him. Just shout like, "Hey, Les, how come you couldn't spring for a steak dinner for Seth Payne?
How much did you pocket, cheapskate?
Give Les Snead a little bit of a ribbing over him being cheap with my dinner.
Do that. I'm rooting for that more than I am rooting for Cam Akers throwing the football at Sean McVay. That would be fun.
I don't have his number in my phone anymore. I was going to give him a heads up, so now it'll be even better.
Just in case you get some insane Texan fans yelling at how cheap you are.
Now he won't have a heads up, and I might not see him out there, so he'll just think that people are diehard Seth Payne fans.
That's funny. And they are.
And that I'm trashing him on the radio.
What'd you talk about with him? Do you remember?
He just wanted to get to know me.
Okay.
Wanted to know about me, and he remembered this, too. I saw him, many years later when he was the director of personnel for the Falcons, I think. He asked about my sister. Because I told him my sister at the time was like, my sister was trying to make it as an actress at the time.
Yeah.
She was like working off Broadway stuff and everything.
So now you're kind of a jerk for trying to get people to yell at him. He's clearly a sincere guy.
Or he was trying to get with my sister.
Well, there's that too. He might have been horny.
Hey, Les, lay off Seth's sister.
Was he like when you were describing her? He's like, well, let's see. You got a picture?
You got her headshots? There was no
there were
pictures on my phone back
then. I was going to say, the phone.
I didn't have a phone.
The phone was a brick phone back then,
or
a bag phone.
He picked me up at the airport by looking for me.
Right.
You know, like,
there's a large person. Yeah. God, that's funny. So yell at Les Snead if you see him out there today, people.
It's weird to think I was a college student with no phone.
1997, man.
I remember having a conversation with my my defensive line coach about how ridiculous he thought it was that these rookies had cell phones.
Wow.
He was like, you're 22 years old, you got a cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, in his mind, I think a cell phone was for CEOs who are closing deals on big mergers.
Now most of them have multiple.
Yeah.
You know, they've got, you know, one for the family and the regular business, and another one for the girlfriend. Yeah.
Most of them.
Do you think it's more than most or
most
less than
CEOs?
No. Players.
No, I don't think it's most. They have one for their girlfriend and one for their wife.
No.
I was joking about the girlfriend part.
Right. No, but a lot of them carry around two phones
reason. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, and I think a lot of them are for the girlfriend, but some of them might not be. No, because you were talking about. You were talking about the coaches saying that these young guys have all these cell phones now. That's what I was referring
to.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
And then I made a joke about the girlfriends, and then you were like, yeah!
Right. And I just remember sitting next to Josh Christopher at a U of H game, former Rocket Josh Christopher.
Uh-huh.
He had at least three phones on him. It might have been more. And I'm like, he's Josh Christopher. Like, he wasn't
a
big deal or anything like that.
Well, that was CeeDee Lamb's story about, remember when his girlfriend tried to check his phone during the draft and he brushed her hand away?
Yeah.
His story was that it was that was like his draft phone.
Yeah.
Like, that was the one that he was keeping open for calls from everybody.
If that's a lie, that's a really good lie.
Yeah, somebody got duped with that this year, this draft. Somebody got prank called by somebody who said they were drafting him. That's messed up. That's a messed up prank call, you deserve it.
You think CeeDee Lamb's still with that chick?
I had read a follow-up. I don't believe he is.
Okay, yeah. She, you know, don't grab his phone.
Yeah.
You know? So,
the best one.
I'm sure
year,
that's why they broke
the
up.
The best one this year was the mom who looked like she was actively trying to box out the girlfriend from the group hug at the end.
Who was that? That was the kid that that was the offensive lineman. I can't remember his name. He's got like a Samoan name.
They smoothed it over afterwards, but I don't know if anybody was buying it because
it was
looked
so
like,
obvious.
It looked like she was really trying to.
Yeah.
Like, she was boxing out better than half of NBA defenders.
Yeah, I was going to say, she was looking to get a rebound.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, Seth asked a great question to D'Amico Ryans yesterday.
Thank you.
A very simple one. Oh. Yes, you did a good job. What's Damian Pierce's biggest obstacle right now? So we finally get a little clarity into, I think, how the Texans are looking at Damian Pierce's preseason so far. And a teammate commented on it as well. And we'll hear that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I have Payne and Pendergast. So D'Amico, Ryan's met with the media yesterday. Damian Pierce, big topic at Texans camp. What's going to happen with Damian Pierce? I think everything is in play for Saturday. I think there's a chance they treat him like a made guy and he doesn't play. I think there's a chance he plays half the game and he's auditioning for his job. Right. I have no idea what the situation is.
Yeah, and I don't know if we got any clarity from it from D'Amico yesterday. I was growing frustrated that nobody had actually asked about Damian Pierce by name since his most recent 1 yard per carry experience in the preseason. So I wanted to know from D'Amico at the very least, like, what is D'Amico Damian Pierce's biggest obstacle right now?
Yeah, Damian, we got to get him some ops in the game. You know, just get him some more ops running the football. But Damian's done a great job out here at practice. I don't think everybody's seen that in the game because, you know, when he had his opportunities, we got guys unblocked in the hole, so he doesn't have a chance to really get started. So, you know, we just have to give him more opportunities, but we have to block it better up front so he does have opportunities to make some plays in a running game.
And there's two things that worry me about that answer. It's one that, yeah, I'm one of those people that has seen him in practice and thought he looked really good in practice. I've tweeted about
it. Me too, yeah.
I've talked about it, you know, and just been impressed. But the problem is that I agree with D'Amico that the blocking hasn't been great. It's actually one of my concerns about the offense right now is with or without Damian Pierce at running back and whether those yards gained, like whether D'Amico or whether Damian, I think, could have done a better job on those plays, the blocking wasn't good. So that is a real thing. But two things can be true. The blocking wasn't good, but also Damian has not looked like himself for over a full year now because his biggest strength and asset is the ability to break tackles. So if it's Damian Pierce, the good version, it doesn't matter that on all seven of those plays, perhaps the blocking wasn't pristine. He wasn't getting hardly any positive yardage at all on any of them. He's not breaking tackles. So you can look good in practice. That's great. Awesome. But at running back especially, training camp practices lie. They don't tell you about the genuinely physical nature of the game. Yeah. So the games really, really, really matter with running backs. There's other guys out there on plays that are making more with bad blocking. There's guys that are, but I mean, they're not running with the first string offensive line. So like that's the difference. But Cam Akers takes bad blocking and turns it into a big run.
Yeah.
British Brooks, all these guys, they bounce plays outside. And Damian hasn't done any of that. So I'm worried that D'Amico really believes that, and I'm worried that Nick Caserio really believes that.
Yeah.
I hope that what the reality of the situation is that they realize they got a Damian Pierce issue right now.
What's the closest thing that we've had since D'Amico got here that would look like something like that? We're like, why is this guy still out here playing?
When Damian Pierce was the starting running back last year.
Yeah, that's true.
At the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, it was exactly what happened.
Yeah.
They're in the Jose Abreu zone right now.
Yeah.
You know?
I was thinking other than Pierce, but you know, you're right. Like last year, Jalen Petrie is the one that pops into mind for me. I think Jalen Petrie was given a lot of similar rope. Now, they had a lot of injuries at safety, so you were kind of... They lost MJ Stewart. They lost Jimmy Ward. They lost Eric Murray for the year. Like, so
I feel like
Jalen almost had to play.
It got to the point with Jalen Petrie at a point where they thought, we have to play him, but like, okay, now not with this. Not where he just gave Amari Cooper a yardage because Jalen Petrie wasn't helping out the cornerback the way he was supposed to. Maybe Jalen Petrie, and just kind of, it's one of the hardest things in the NFL is, especially when it happens early in the season, is letting go of whatever your conceptions are about a player. But now I'm going to be really disappointed if Nick and D'Amico, if they don't play him in this preseason game, and it's because they just trust that he's going to be fine once they get to the regular season.
If he doesn't play Saturday and the 53-man comes out on Tuesday and Damian Pierce is one of the running backs, that's a concern.
And then there's still room for, okay, you want to have different skill sets, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is, I think that you can't use the 2022 scouting report on Damian Pierce. He was a bigger dude. He was bigger, and he trucked people, he broke tackles, he did all that stuff. All of this is tied to when he decided to slim down and get a little bit faster. The problem was it didn't make him fast enough to do fast guy stuff, but it was enough to take away his strength. And if he's on the roster, but they also want him to bulk back up to his playing weight, maybe that makes sense. You got to do something different than what they're doing right now.
Yeah. Here's Titus Howard, right tackle. He was asked yesterday in his media availability about Damian Pierce.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he ain't got that many reps. And he didn't get that many reps with the starters, too. So, I mean, you got to put that into play. So, cause we didn't really run the ball that much last game. It was a lot of pass play. So, and he's been putting work in practice. So, you know, a lot of people not seeing that. So they only can see what they see, you know, when we go out on the game. So, I mean, they can't really, like, judge him off that. It's a small sample size and stuff that he's done and the work he put in. So he's going to be just fine.
I'll tell you what, practice for Damian Pierce, what it's approaching for me, categorically, is injured Astros players playing catch.
Right, yeah.
Don't really care that they're playing catch.
Right, yeah.
Don't really care.
Yeah, and I'm right there in the boat of people like Titus Howard. When I watched Damian in the first couple of weeks of practice, I'm like, oh, he looks pretty good, man. Yeah. He looks quick. He looks decisive, all those things. But for the running back position especially, it's how do you play tackle football? And it's not, man, I mean, there's a hesitancy in the way that Damian is running the ball right now where I feel like he knows that he doesn't have the same oomph or the same power. It's like if a boxer knew that he just didn't have the power in his jab overhand. If George Foreman had lost his overhand right and he's just like doing it, but just kind of half-assing.
You know, you're a fraction of what you used to
be. Yeah. So, I don't know what to tell you at this point. With John Mechie, we were growing similarly worried about him, just it not clicking for him. But at least there you saw that he definitely looked different physically in practice. It was just that he had to figure out a way to click in the offense. When they were in 11-on-11, when they were in team, everything else. And it seems like he did click. With Damian, I just worry that it's actually physiological. That it's the opposite of, yes, he does look quicker than he did in the past. But at what cost?
Yeah.
You know, like at what cost? LeBron James that one year, remember he decided to lose 20 pounds? He came in all gaunt.
Yeah.
He gained that weight back by Christmas.
Yeah.
And then he was back to being the old LeBron James. And I think that Damian he kind of pulled the LeBron here. He messed around with his body weight too much. He lost that. Whatever LeBron did in losing that weight, he lost too much. He maybe gained some speed. Maybe he gained a little bit of endurance, but he lost all of that power and that combo, that hybrid athlete that he is. And that's where Damian is now. He's a lackluster speed athlete, but with zero power to back it up or to offset it.
Text message, and I think this reflects a lot of what you see on social media and people I've talked to. I hope the Texans don't cut Cam Akers to keep Damian Pierce. That goes to show you where this is right now, and this is no disrespect to Cam Akers, who's done some good things in training camp, but Cam Akers was available to all 32 teams. The Texans signed him to basically a minimum deal.
Really is an experiment to see how he looks.
Yeah.
He's coming off his second Achilles. You know.
And I think the extent to which people have fallen in love with Cam Akers, I think says a lot about how they feel about Damian Pierce at the same time.
Honestly, I think the only thing that you can really do, if Damian needs opportunities, and like D'Amico said, if what he needs is opportunities, then what they need to do is run him with the backups for three quarters of football. You know, like these other guys have These other guys have done a lot. These other running backs have all shown flashes and promise while running behind backup offensive linemen against backups. At the very least, if Damian can't match their effort, if he can't match their effort against backups, then there's no reason for him to be on the team.
Yeah, and similarly, I would actually like to see some of these other guys get more opportunities running with the ones.
We're right, and also because the ones, too, I think, if only for the fans' understanding, and maybe the offensive line will do better run blocking this week. They weren't good in their run blocking. So it's both things can be true. I'm not excusing Damian's performance by saying there was bad run blocking, but there was bad run blocking. And if you want to get the absolute most out of Joe Mixon, the run blocking's got to improve over what it was when you had four out of your five starting offensive linemen in the game.
Yeah. Someone says Tavier Thomas as a player they had a blind spot for. I don't know. He was a slot corner on two bad football teams.
Yeah.
And then maybe last year a little bit, he was probably out there when he should. But Damian Pierce was good at one point.
You want a deep cut?
Yeah.
I don't want to get the guy wrong. Was it Brandon Harris that they kept around forever?
No fly zone.
They kept him around forever.
Second round pick.
And it turned out that Rick Smith was buddies with his uncle or dad or something. Yeah. I don't know. Where did he go to school?
Brandon Harris.
It was Miami.
Yeah. Ben's alma mater.
But he was around forever. Man.
He was. Yeah.
Hey, did you see the neck thing I'm wearing?
Yeah. I like it.
Very stylish.
Yeah.
Erin Kapner, who's our awesome,
she does it all here.
She takes care of the eyes and ears
of this institution.
She saw the sun glaring in our face during the pregame show last week, and she thought, we got to do something better for these guys than wet towels. So she got us one of these little contraptions that has two little fans that blow air right into your neck arteries there. And it feels good. It feels good.
Very quiet. Is that on right now?
It's on right now. Ben, can you hear these fans blowing onto my arteries?
Ben, they can't even hear you, I think, right now. There we go.
Ben, can you hear the fans blowing on my arteries? He can't hear it. He's listening. He can't.
Yeah.
He's got a very good ear for this stuff.
Yeah, nope. Yeah. No, he can't. He just said.
I'm excited. No, I mean, we're in a 72 degree environment right now. So we'll see.
I've heard good things about those thingies, though.
We'll see in a couple hours when I'm out there in a 99 degree environment.
So you're going to give it a go today. Yeah. Like you're beta testing it today.
I'm wearing long pants, Sean. You think I trust?
That's a choice.
You got to trust this thing?
That's
wearing
a
long
choice.
Pants and a light blue shirt out to practice.
You're dressed way nicer than I am.
Well, I got to give it. When I give it to Les Snead, he's got to know that it's from a respectable person.
Yeah, right.
I've been preparing for this for a long time.
Long time.
I've been practicing my craft.
Dude, he might not recognize you, though. I mean, what are you like? You're probably like 60 pounds lighter than you were as a player now.
No, he's seen me at various stages of my growth.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And growth and deflation.
I say you're
That's what they call me, the deflator. That's how there's no chicanery here, yeah.
It's a very flattering nickname, the deflator.
No, that was the the Deflategate.
Oh, yeah. Remember. Yastrzemski, I think, was his name. I don't know why I remember that, and I can't remember what day it is.
That was when I knew something was afoot. Like, no, you didn't call him the deflator because he lost weight. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So stupid.
And I still didn't care that something was afoot. It was the dumbest thing ever. Yeah. Oh, no, they deflated footballs. It turns out we're actually overinflated before the game anyway, dumbass officials.
We've never asked Nick about that. We need to sit down with Nick and talk about all the various scandals that he got to see.
Do I just want
to
piss away a question that's not going to get answered? Yeah, I'll go ahead and grill him on the deflator.
Privately, you know, just a little intel. All right, Payne and Pendergast. Hey, speaking of Nick Caserio, there is something Nick Caserio said pre-draft in April that resonated with me last night. And now, I don't know if I was believing it at the time, but I believe it lock, stock, and barrel right now after something that happened to me last night.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm intrigued.
I have that for you coming up.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Texans hit the practice field in about 15 minutes. We will be out there right after the show ends today.
We're going to hoof it up there, Buffalo Speedway. Come on out and wave to us during the motorcade passes by.
Like OJ, yeah.
I'm going
like,
to stop at
have
the,
posters out there.
I'm going to stop at the Walgreens and grab an RX bar on the way. But other than that, yes.
Other than that, you're going
so
straight
you'll get there
out
a couple
there.
Minutes before me.
Yep. Something Nick Caserio said back on April the 18th before the draft that, you know, we kind of made fun of a little bit just because I think he was, and we're going to play the audio here in a second, But I think he was kind of making fun of our industry a little bit.
Oh,
you know,
son of a
yeah, heart. Yeah, he does that sometimes. He points out the ludicrousness of what Seth and I do sometimes. That it's just noise.
Take ludicrous's name out of your mouth.
It's a waste. No, OUS, not just not CRIS. So I thought about this last night. I had a fantasy draft. Amy and I did. We had a fantasy draft last night. Amy and I share a team in a league that we're in with some friends, including a couple loyal listeners. Jen and Perry are in that league. Yeah, they're awesome. So they invited us to be in that league a few years ago. So we go out to League City and we draft. And Amy and I had a strategy going in and everything. We felt really good about our draft afterwards. Like, really good. We're like, yeah, this is a strategy we wanted to do. Loaded up on receivers because it's a passing league these days. Like, our top three receivers are Justin Jefferson, Puka Nacua, and Mike Evans.
Oh, my gosh.
We got all three of those guys. Now, our running back room is a little thin. And our starting quarterback is Justin Herbert.
Was there anybody that couldn't divorce themselves from their Texans fandom?
C.J. Stroud was the second overall pick in the draft somebody.
Okay, yeah.
Which he shouldn't even go to, like, the fourth round.
Right, just because he's not a rushing quarterback.
Right. Yeah, he went second.
It's not an indictment. For people that don't know fantasy football, it's not an indictment against CJ, the actual football player. He's not going to get many rushing touchdowns.
Perry took Tank Dell in the first round, and she goes, "I don't care. I love little Tank Dell."
So she knew. Okay, she knew what she was doing is irresponsible. Again, for people that don't know fantasy, I probably don't need to do this disclaimer anymore. But if you have a bunch of good wide receivers, the trouble in drafting for fantasy is that there's a good chance in any given week they're not actually going to get that many targets.
If a team like the Texans has a lot of good receivers, you don't know which one to pick.
Yeah.
So she decided to take Tank and Nico.
Oh no!
Yeah. Yeah. So there was.
Well, she handcaffed him at least. The problem is you still have
which
staff.
Week. Which week is it going to be this guy's week? So it's a long answer to your question. Was there some homerism going on in the room? 100%. And I predicted it. I even wore my 713 t-shirt that had CJ, Steph, and Tank to dupe some of the people into thinking I was going to draft them.
I thought you were trying to prime their emotions a little bit to try to get them all amped up.
I was, but just to make them think like, oh crap, Sean came to play to draft the guys I want. Anyways, so Amy and I thought we had a really good draft. Afterwards, AI graded everybody's draft and did a little blurb about it.
Oh, it actually did like a write-up. You could have read it in ESPN.com
or something. I'll read the write-up. It's only two paragraphs.
We don't use AI.
It's only two paragraphs. But this was the cut. You'll hear the grade in a second. This was the cut that popped into my head after this damn computer spit out a D+ for me and Amy.
It's kind of like the draft. We go through the weekend. We're going to have on Monday, right, or Sunday afternoon, draft grades, right? I mean, it's the most ridiculous concept that I've ever heard of. Like, the players haven't even been in the building yet, and we're making an assessment about their performance.
So, yeah, the computer, the AI, spit out a D+ for us.
Right. So I thought you had a voiceover of what the... I thought there was like a write-up on exactly why you got a D+.
There is. Right here. Okay. Yeah. Trust me. So Nick, when the computer gave us a D+, that Nick Caserio cut popped into my head. I'm like, you know what? These draft grades are garbage.
Yeah.
Nick.
Great.
Yeah, exactly, Nick. Exactly. Here's what it wrote about our team. Headline: the explosive Pendergasm struggles to shine in draft, projected to land in mediocrity. The explosive Pendergasm is our team.
That's a good name.
Thank you. In this fantasy draft, the explosive Pendergasm found themselves in the middle of the pack with the sixth overall pick. Despite the 16 rounds available, God, this is so AI.
Yeah.
Their performance only managed to scrape a disappointing D+ grade. Projections foresee a lackluster 5-8 record in the regular season, because it's only a 13-week regular season, and then it's the playoffs, placing them in the unglamorous 7th position. They project our point total. It seems the explosive Pendergasm might be in for a bumpy ride. While the draft had its ups and downs, the explosive Pendergasm did make a savvy move by selecting Tajay Spears at pick 115.
That's the one they gave you credit for?
Pick 115, slightly outperforming the average draft position. However, their optimism was dampened by the selection of Justin Herbert at pick 91, a reach compared to that player's average draft position.
Yeah.
With two players on bye week in week 6 and the toughest schedule ahead, this is where AI, I think, has a little bit of a sense of humor. The explosive Pendergasm might need a sprinkle of magic to turn their fortunes around.
What was good about that?
A little dirt. Well, explosive Pendergasm.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it was smart enough to realize that it was doing anything. I think
sure
it's just
it wasn't, but it did make people chuckle when I read it.
All this AI-written stuff is just, it's like it just takes some facts and puts in some transition words.
It's Mad Libs.
And like, yeah, it never makes any sense.
Yeah.
I get so disgusted when I stumble onto an article where you're like, oh, the one that I read the other day where it called C.J. Stroud a rookie quarterback. You know, like, okay, clearly a human sports writer didn't write this. Like, every actual sports writer, even the dumbest on earth, know that he's not a rookie, but whatever. I disagree with AI right there. Now, that's the part where I get happy when I read stuff like that. I'm like, oh, well, clearly AI's not ready to completely
take
over
jobs.
Human
jobs.
Yeah.
D plus
my butt.
I'm with you, Nick.
Now, the problem is for you to actually back up what you think was a good draft, but you somehow think is better than a giant mega network of computers that's working to assess you, is that you can't be lazy during the season.
No, we're not.
You can't be sleeping on trades and whatnot.
Dude, Amy is Casario-like in her laser focus on our squad.
Okay.
She's always scrubbing the waiver wire.
Yeah.
Reaching out, seeing if there's trades we can make, looking at other teams' rosters. She's mm-hmm. She's very good. This is one thing we share, is our fantasy team with each other.
Yeah. So today versus the Rams and their fantasy squad, Matt Stafford started practicing a few days ago. He's been banged up a little bit, so I don't know if he's going to like practice a boatload.
Yeah, he's had a hammy.
I'd love to see. I wish Puka Nacua were practicing, because I want to, Kamari Lassiter
is on my team.
He's only faced Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
That's his welcome to the NFL experience right now. Is like he could. Yeah. I worry sometimes that Kamari Lassiter might fall prey to that feeling that, who was the running back for the Jaguars that thought that the NFL seemed easy?
Leonard Fournette.
That's right, it was Leonard Fournette, who, after having only played preseason games, was like, you know, the NFL's kind of easy. And then he went on to average 2.5 yards per carry that year. I worry that Lassiter hasn't really genuinely seen the real NFL or anything even close to it, because he's only gone against Daniel Jones, who decided to test Derek Stingley that evening for whatever reason. So Matt Stafford could be some really good reps versus a really good quarterback.
And today's the only day, because Lassiter is in that category that probably doesn't play on Saturday, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess, and probably Matt Stafford too. You know, the Rams
So this is it.
It is a nice thing about these joint practices is that you get to see your starters go versus other starters for lots and lots of reps, and especially in the situations that you want to see them. You know, if you end up, okay, if a guy gets 12 reps in a preseason game against starters and half of them are first and 10 or second and 10, you're not really testing things out and you're not really seeing a whole lot. But where you can go third and long, short yardage, you know, backed up, goal line, all that stuff, versus starters for multiple reps, I think you start to get a better feel for where your weaknesses as a team are, and then also just in evaluating individual players.
Text message, I don't trust anyone that shares a fantasy team with his wife. Here's the thing, Texter. I'm in three fantasy leagues. Two of them are to myself. We were invited to be... Actually, Amy was invited to be in this one, but Amy's like, do you want to be in this league with me? This is something we can share.
Listen, man, you got to get off alpha male Twitter. Yeah. All right? Listen, the first thing you need to find yourself, if you find yourself down some alpha male Twitter hole or on Instagram where a bunch of guys are telling you about how you really got to treat the ladies and all that stuff, and this is how it really is. Just first and foremost, if you're on alpha male Twitter, you are losing in the war of becoming an alpha male. Get the hell off social media, first and foremost. Like, you're investing too much time in the social media stuff. And second, like, what do you got? What do you got, a nice relationship with your wife where you guys share common interests and everything? What kind of an alpha male are you?
This is efficiency.
What do you want to wear panties? Yeah.
Right. This is efficiency. My wife likes football.
Yeah.
She's always looking for stuff to spend more time doing. Why not spend time doing something with her that I really enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of let her run the thing, man. Like, I delegate. I'm Cal McNair. I just delegate to her, and I just flip the burgers, you know? That's it. That's all.
Yeah, guy, have that guy, Joel, I'm asking you, text back a better explanation for why he shouldn't share a fantasy team with his wife.
Right. Thank you. All right. D plus.
AI.
You act like Sean's kept under lock and key or something.
Not at
Sean
all.
Sean spends half his day cavorting with his buddies. You know, like, he needs that. Sean needs to do this with his wife to take a break from his buddies.
Yeah, it's true.
They're the real hags.
They're gonna kill me.
They're the browbeating hags that won't let Sean live his life.
It's true.
He's like, I gotta go do a fantasy draft with my wife so I can feel like a real man for a minute.
True.
Yeah.
It's true. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Texans on the practice field in about 5 minutes. Is the AFC South now in the upper half of the eight NFL divisions? One ESPN.
Oh.
One ESPN expert.
We'd never see the day again.
I know. All right. Is this a new day for the AFC South? We will judge. Coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.